Hello, everyone, and welcome to the program. We're glad that you joined us today. We hope you're excited about talking some newsworthy clips, some interesting events from around the world. I'm your teacher, Ruth, and we have two other knowledgeable people in the studio today. Hi, Simon.
Hi, Ruth. It's good to be here on Advanced Radio, especially when we're talking about a subject as interesting as the one we have today.
Great. And how are you, Lois?
I'm doing great, Ruth. I love how you introduced us because I noticed you were tempted to say, and I have those two Canadians on the radio program with me today.
Well, we're not going to have a Canadian-American feud
today.
No,
we aren't.
And thankfully, we're talking about something that should be interesting to all of us and all of you, too, I hope. If you haven't yet, please open your magazines to page 26. We're talking about newsworthy clips, and we're talking about something that is quite valuable, aren't we, Simon?
We are. It's a very special stamp that we're talking about today, and a very valuable stamp it is.
One that's worth $10 million.
Right.
I mean, it's hard for me to even imagine that amount of money, let alone for a little itty-bitty tiny stamp.
Exactly. And for our readers, because I often think of a stamp now is what I use to decorate on pieces of paper with my ink pad. This, readers, is an actual stamp that at one point was either licked on the back or glue used to put on an envelope.
Right. We would call it a postage stamp because it was used to mail a letter. It's a $10 million stamp with a colorful past.
Did you say $10 million?
We did, indeed. So let's find out more about why this stamp is so valuable and what is so interesting about it. Let's begin reading in line one.
A $10 million stamp with a colorful past. The most valuable stamp in the world, the British Guiana 1 cent magenta, sold last year for nearly $10 million at auction. It will be on display at the National Postal Museum until November 2017. The stamp is scarcely bigger than a thumbnail, and its imagery is faded. But it's the stamp's history that's expected to draw crowds. The stamp dates to 1856, when a postmaster in British Guiana ran out of stamps and asked a local printer to prepare a small number of replacements. The 1 cent magenta is the only surviving example of the 1 cent stamps prepared in that batch. Its value grew as it made its way around the world, passing through owners, including a 12-year-old Scottish boy, who didn't realize its rarity. The French government, which seized it as enemy property from Germany in World War I, and philanthropist John DuPont, who owned the stamp until his death in 2010.
So our $10 million stamp is the most valuable stamp in the world. Why do you think that is, Simon?
Well, I think partly it's because of its colorful past, like it says in the title there. This stamp has a colorful past, which means it has a lot of experiences, if a stamp can have an experience. It's been lots of different places, owned by lots of different people, and it's been through lots of different situations in history, I guess you would say.
And it's valuable because it's old, and it's the only one.
Yes, in fact, it's surprising to me how old it is, and it's obviously still in good shape. So somebody didn't just stick it in their wallet and put it in their back pocket or something like that.
That's right, and here on the page you can see examples of the British Guiana 1 cent stamp. And it's called the magenta, and magenta is also a color.
Oh, yes. Do you notice my scarf today, Ruth?
It is. It's magenta, that nice purpley color.
I like it, and it's very vibrant, so this stamp would have stood out.
And people like to see valuable things. We go to museums to see things like the Hope Diamond or the Mona Lisa or something interesting like that. So now we've got this stamp on display at the National Postal Museum.
That's right. People really like to see historical things when they have sort of an exciting story or some mystery linked to them, too. And I think that's probably all true for this stamp.
Yes, indeed. The stamp is scarcely bigger than a thumbnail, so it's quite small. So scarcely means not very much at all, just a little bit bigger than your thumbnail, and it's not very clear anymore, is it?
No, it's not very clear anymore. That would be because of its age, and it's faded. So obviously the image on it has faded.
Right, the picture on it is not very easy to see anymore, but those are not the important things. It's the history that's expected to draw crowds. What kind of things draw crowds, Simon?
Well, things that are interesting. People like to see movies that are popular because people are interested in the movie and other people like it. People like to see concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And we even like to go to restaurants that are popular at the time, right?
And famous people draw crowds.
Right, or sports events.
That's right, all those things do. And this particular little tiny piece of paper is expected to draw crowds. And when was this stamp made?
It was made in 1856. So we're talking a very long time ago because it's 2015 now. So what are we talking? Over 150 years ago.
And it's amazing that something this small and made of paper could last that long. So what is the history of this stamp? How did it come to be made?
Well, the stamp has a very interesting story. It tells us here that in 1856, a postmaster in British Guiana ran out of stamps and asked a local printer to prepare a small number of replacements. And that paragraph, it's small, but it's just packed with information. A postmaster is a person who's in charge of a post office. And these days, postmasters probably wouldn't go out and print their own stamps.
No, the government would frown on that.
That's right.
And I imagine at this time, the stamps probably came from England. And he didn't have any more, and obviously he couldn't say, just send me a few stamps,
exactly,
because it would take too long to get there. So he asked the printer to prepare a small number of replacements, one that could be used instead of the ones from England.
That's right. He was in British Guiana, which is a place that doesn't exist anymore. It's a former colony in South America that was a British colony. And so, like you said, he probably was waiting for stamps from England.
But the country still exists. And, of course, they still speak English.
Yeah. The place exists.
Yeah, exactly.
The country does
yeah.
not.
There so you if you look at the continent of South America, you can find Guiana at the top, the north end of the country. Sometimes you might also see it spelled G-U-Y-A-N-A. There's two different spellings of it. Anyway, it used to be a colony. Now it's an independent country. But way back in 1856... they needed those stamps. So this 1 cent magenta is the only surviving example of those stamps that he asked them to print.
That's right. And I guess that's really not very surprising, considering they were just looking for sort of temporary replacement stamps. And so they printed a few up, and they probably didn't print them up to be something that was intended to last a long time.
That's right. And he also refers to them as the batch of stamps. I really like that word because it's very useful.
Right. And it means a group of things or people dealt with at the same time or considered similar in type.
For example, I like to make cookies, so I will make a batch of cookies. That means a certain number of them. You have a batch of stamps. You can have a batch of almost any kinds of things. Usually we don't say a batch of people, though, do we?
No. I'm desperately trying to think of
exactly
things we have batches of right now.
I was
now.
Thinking, I never say a batch of brownies, but I do say a batch of pancakes. I made a batch of pancakes.
I say muffins.
You say muffins, a batch of muffins.
Okay.
So in other words, it has to be a thing, usually an inanimate thing, something that's not alive.
Yeah, it's things that are produced at the same time. So we're saying here a bunch of baked goods, but it's not just for baked goods. You could also say if you had a factory that made something, mm-hmm. but then after you make like one series of the thing, you shut down the factory for a little while, you could call the things you'd made a batch. So you might say yesterday's batch of t-shirts.
Right? That's right.
Because you made t-shirts. So it doesn't just have to be a baked good.
No.
You know, it's still 2 hours to lunch, folks. So.
Well, I think the idea is that, as Simon said, it's a bunch of things that are produced at the same time. So this printer made this small batch of stamps. And its value grew because there was only one of them, and it made its way around the world through different owners. So different people have saved this particular stamp. And who was one of the owners?
Well, it mentions a number of different people here, but the first one it tells us about is a 12-year-old Scottish boy who didn't realize its rarity. And I actually wonder if, I don't know for sure, but I wonder if he was the first owner of the stamp.
Could be. It doesn't say where the stamp went at first, because obviously in this case the stamp was used to mail a letter somewhere, and we don't know where it went.
Right.
And I would think also that this Scottish boy was probably also a stamp collector, maybe.
That's what I would think as well. And obviously, he should have held on to it.
Right, because he didn't recognize his rarity. He didn't realize how special it was and how that there weren't very many of these anymore. Simon, do you think many people collect stamps anymore?
I don't know. We were talking about that sort of before the program, whether people collected stamps. I know of a few people. For example, I have a friend I went to high school with, and his wife's brother collects stamps. And I know this because from time to time, that friend from high school asked me to send him stamps from Taiwan to give the brother-in-law for, you know, Christmas gifts and stuff. So there are definitely people out there who collect stamps. Also, sometimes in our magazines, we have ads for special coin or stamp series that are being sold by the post office. So I suspect there are people who collect. But at the same time, you know, people don't send letters the way they used to. So it's hard to say.
Yes, I know some people enjoy this hobby because it's interesting to see all the different colors and the different shapes and the different pictures on the stamps. And for some people, that's very, very interesting. And I know, as Simon said, in Taiwan, they produce some very nice sets of stamps for collectors. Mm-hmm. So someone out there must collect stamps.
Exactly. I think my nephew still does. I know that he's almost 21, and I think he's lost interest in it a bit, but I think he's still doing it. And sometimes he or his mom, my sister-in-law, will ask, will you please send a stamp from wherever I've been or where I live here in Taiwan? Or, like, for myself, I'm not a stamp collector, but I do enjoy coin collecting, and I'd like to get into that more. So maybe the closer I get to retirement age, I should get into it more.
So that means only old people collecting, if you're talking about retirement?
I don't know. You know, when I was a kid, I remember, like, steaming stamps off envelopes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you remember
with the electric kettle, right?
Well, we just boiled the kettle.
Okay.
But, yeah, you sort of hold the envelope in the steam coming from a kettle.
Yeah, I can remember doing that.
It slips off, you know, and I have no idea what we did with them after that.
Well, you must have saved them.
Put them on a piece of paper or something to collect them. I don't know.
Anyway, stamp collecting used to be a very popular hobby. I think some people still enjoy it today. But this, back to our article, this 12-year-old Scottish boy, he was maybe either the first recipient of this stamp or he was one who got it in some way and kept it. But then maybe he didn't realize how valuable it was. Then we move forward a little bit in history and we find out that the French government seized it as enemy property in World War I.
Right, from Germany. And so they seized it, so I'm thinking it was in Germany, or was it taken to battle? I'm not sure, because we don't get told where it went from the Scottish boy. So
that's right, and we don't know when the Scottish boy had it either, but obviously it's been owned by several different people. During World War I, or during a lot of wars, sometimes countries will take property from other ones, and perhaps that's what Germany had done with this stamp, or maybe somebody owned it there. And finally, a philanthropist, John DuPont, owned the stamp for a while, too.
Right. And we might not all know what philanthropist means. We hear it a lot in the news, whether it be on radio or television, and it says a person who helps the poor, especially by giving them money.
I think you could say Bill Gates is a philanthropist. He has a lot of money that he gives away now to various good causes. And the DuPont family in the United States is very well known. They started chemical factories, and they made a lot of money doing that. And then when they accumulated all of the money, then they started to give it away to good causes. And I'm sure, obviously, this philanthropist must have spent some of that money to buy the stamp, and he had it in his collection then until his death in 2010. And now we'll find out where the stamp went after that. So we've seen it's been owned by a Scottish boy, it was in Germany, the French took it, now it went to America. So that's part of its interesting history and why it's valuable. So let's continue reading in line 24.
It has been the world's most valuable philatelic object since 1922, when it was bought by American industrialist Arthur Hind, who reportedly outbid several European kings. It was auctioned off in 2014 and purchased by shoe designer Stuart Weitzman, who was an avid stamp collector in his childhood. Rather than keep the stamp in his own collection, as so many of its past owners have, he decided to loan it to the National Postal Museum. The stamp has only been shown to the public on rare occasions, allowing the mystique around it to build further. Alan Kane, director of the National Postal Museum, said the museum expects the stamp's history and value to attract even those without a strong interest in stamps. For members of the stamp collecting community, it's something more, he said, representing their world, their love, their passion. It gives us a chance to show the world something that they haven't seen in a long time, Kane said.
So this stamp, the 1 cent magenta, has been the world's most valuable philatelic object since 1922. I wonder why they decided in 1922 that it was the most valuable. Any ideas?
I assume it's because it's just rare. You know, like there are things like that that happen with coins. Like sometimes they'll misprint a coin, or, you know, like there's two heads on it instead of one, or they'll stop producing them when they realize there's been a mistake, but right away those things are very valuable. And so I wonder if just sort of the special origin story of this stamp sort of signaled to people that it would be valuable right away, just because it was sort of a custom-made, limited batch of stamps.
I would think the year is significant, too. It's just 4 years after this First World War was completed. 1922, we've often heard, that's the roaring 20s. People did have money to spend. They were looking at collecting things. And lots of families or individuals were gaining wealth, mm-hmm. especially in the developed world.
So perhaps they recognized this as being a very old stamp. There were no other ones like it, and there were no older stamps around. So this became then the world's most valuable philatelic object.
Right, because it's almost 70 years old at this point. So,
all right, and philatelic means having to do with stamps and postal history. This is probably not a word that you're going to see very often, and you'll always see it in conjunction with post offices and with people who collect stamps, because a person who collects stamps, mm-hmm. we would call a philatelist. So anyway, back in 1922, it was recognized as being the most valuable. And who bought it back then?
Well, this industrialist named Arthur Hind. But the interesting thing about this is how widely known the stamp was when it was sold to him. I mean, he was competing against different European kings to buy the stamp. So everybody must have known about this stamp and that it was coming up for sale.
And, and there was no internet or text messaging at that time.
That's true. And just from reading this paragraph, how would you guess that this stamp was sold? What was the way that it was sold?
Well, it's most likely sold by auction. I think they actually tell us that in the next paragraph. So
they do.
Sort of cheating.
But you see the word outbid.
Yes.
Which
That's
tells
right.
me that it was sold at auction.
Right.
Because at an auction, people say, I'll pay $10 and
right.
I'll pay $15 and I'll pay $20. Or in this case, it's probably $1 million, $2 million, $3
million. Exactly. This is not a silent auction, folks. This is very competitive and often very fun to watch.
And it's reportedly, meaning we don't know for sure, but this is the story. This is what we've been told.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was an interesting point that Lois made, is that these days with our instant communication, you can have people bidding on something from all over the world at the same time. But back in 1922, communication wasn't very good. So I would imagine this auction took a fair amount of time.
Exactly. And, you know, back in those days, it might have been more difficult to send a representative who could keep it a secret who actually wanted to purchase this.
Right. So anyway, this industrialist, he was a man who owned factories and different businesses. Mm-hmm. He is the one who outbid the kings and got it. And then it was auctioned off again in 2014, and it was purchased by a shoe designer named Stuart Wiseman. And he was an avid stamp collector.
Well, in his childhood. So I don't imagine he bought it as a child.
No, I'm sure he was. He had to have money if he was going to pay that much for it.
Well, that's the thing. It seems that this stamp is known by everybody in the world of stamp collecting.
Exactly.
It seems like it was the sort of thing that maybe he had heard about as a child and dreamed of owning, and then he got his chance as an adult.
Maybe if, for example, like a Babe Ruth baseball card.
Exactly. There you go.
And I like the word avid, because that means you're very interested in it.
Exactly.
And you're very serious mm-hmm. about it, and you spend a lot of time pursuing this hobby. So as a child, he was a stamp collector. Maybe, as Simon said, he was so excited when this stamp came up for auction. So he bought it, but then did he keep it in his own collection?
Well, this is the thing. I guess technically he did, because he still owns it, but he has done something very different with it than past owners of the stamp have done. He allowed a museum to put it on display, and so he's loaned it. He's let the museum borrow it so that they can put it on display for the public to see.
That's right. This National Postal Museum is located in Washington, D.C. It's a place that people can go and learn about postal history and now see this very valuable stamp. And this stamp hasn't been shown to the public very often, only on rare occasions. So now the mystique is building.
Ooh, that's a great word, mystique. We often think of mystique as being mysterious, and here it means mystique, a quality of being special in a mysterious and attractive way.
I think any time that there are stories about something or there's rumors about something, that adds to the appeal mm-hmm. or the mystique is kind of like the mysterious
right.
appeal of something.
Yeah, and I think with a stamp, this stamp actually comes with attachments. And people are like, what is she talking about, the computer? No, it comes with all these stories, all these owners, all this geography, because it's been almost everywhere. So, you know, if the stamp could talk, it could tell us a lot.
It sure could. And this, the director of the National Postal Museum expects this to attract people, because I think we're always interested in seeing the oldest, the most valuable, the most interesting, the most money paid for something. We like to look at things like that. So people will come to the museum to see this British Guiana 1 cent magenta because of its history. And for members of the stamp collecting community, it's even more important, because it's their world, their love, and their passion.
Yes. This stamp just has everything, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, it's, you know, there's only one. It's a beautiful color, this magenta color. It actually looks a little more red than purple.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful color. You know, it's been all around the world. People have competed to own it, and it's been hidden from view all of this time.
I just wonder if Ian Fleming is going to write this into a James Bond book, because this stamp is something else.
Yeah. I think he'd only do that if somebody stole it for some kind of purpose.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that this is the chance now for them to show the world something that many people haven't seen, or if they did, they haven't seen it for a long time. So it's great that they would have the opportunity to see it. So, Simon, if you went to Washington, D.C., would you go straight to the museum to see this stamp?
I tell you, I don't know if I'd go straight there, but I would put it on my list of things to do.
Because then you could say, I've seen the most valuable stamp in the world.
Exactly.
I've seen the stamp.
Bragging rights.
The size of a fingernail.
Yes. And it's
tiny.
And the fact that it's survived for so many years.
Incredible.
I mean, you think about something that small, how easy it would be to lose it or to destroy it. Which, again, adds to its mystique.
All of its brother and sister stamps have disappeared.
That's right. The only one left of this
particular batch. As far as we know, unless somebody's holding out for even more money.
It's in an attic somewhere.
Well, it's always interesting. As soon as you label something the most valuable item, then it seems like people try to find something that's better or different. And who knows, maybe someday someone will come up with a stamp from 1832 and it will be more valuable than this one.
Exactly.
But I think what makes it valuable is the fact of its scarcity. There's only one. Its interesting color. And, of course, its colorful past.
Exactly. And also where it was produced at the time. You've got to remember, what was that part of South America like back in 1856.
That's right. It was a British colony at that time. Well, hopefully you've learned some interesting words from our lesson today. You've learned a little bit about philatelic or philately, the study or the custom or the idea of stamp collecting. And go and see the stamp if you happen to get to Washington, D.C. And I hope you'll come back to class tomorrow when we talk about something a little bit closer to home. Thank you all for being here. See you again soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye.